Welcome to Planter Stories, a special series of the Always Forward podcast. Each episode features a church planter who's just like you, out in the field, figuring it out, and on mission for God. We hope this conversation informs you, inspires you, and encourages you with what God is doing through those planting gospel-centered, sacramental, missional churches throughout North America and beyond.
All right. Well, I'm glad we get to sit down and have this conversation. We are in a big empty sanctuary that hopefully will add a little resonance and maybe gravitas to the conversation. So, Chase Edgar, good to have you with us. Good to talk a little bit about church planting. Thankful for everybody out there that's going to be listening. Kind of just want to get into your story a little bit, and hopefully as someone who is, you know, 5 months, something like that, right, into church planting, those who are listening can really benefit from kind of the early on experience of church planting and just kind of hear how it's been going, how you've been processing that and all that. So you studied, is it communications as an undergrad? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. You were at the University of South Carolina. I guess at that point, didn't feel a call to ministry then, or maybe a little bit?
You know, I probably knew I was headed in that direction in the sort of deep recesses of my mind, but, you know, sort of wasn't entirely sure what that would look like.
And right.
Certainly didn't think, parish ministry would be the thing. I sort of had other ideas right. about maybe parachurch ministry or something like that.
Okay. So it was low-key running from God. Is that what? No, just kidding.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe
yeah.
A little bit. All right. So you got your start in youth ministry, served two parishes in something like 5 years, right? And then you headed out to seminary, finished up this last May. And is that right?
Yep.
5 years. Yeah, yeah. Doing youth ministry. I'm guessing kind of knew that was the season for youth ministry and looking toward the priesthood by that point.
Yeah.
Had that sense, ordination.
Yeah, I think, during my first year of parish ministry, I was like, okay, this is it. This is what God's call on my life is, I'm pretty sure. And so at that point was headed towards the discernment process that happened at one of those churches. Seminary was what was next then.
So. Right. So your dad was a church planter, and I know he doesn't identify as one, but he took on a church plant with some, small number of people doing all the things that church plants do, setting up chairs and what have you. And then obviously you grew up watching your dad pastor and was a rector. And so now you come out of seminary and right into church planting. So maybe just tell us a little bit about that journey toward planting and kind of realizing, oh, this is what God's doing. This is what God had in store for my life.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say, the apple probably doesn't fall far from the tree in that I don't sort of see myself as a church planter, or at least the church planter type, that is often sort of portrayed when in conversations about church planting. Because of that, every time that church planting would come up, in the last 9 or 10 years, I would always think like, oh, you know, thank the Lord that I won't have to do that. And then, particularly as I was in seminary and people would talk about what was up next and that sort of thing, and friends would say, you know, I'd love to plant a church, I would always think to myself, like, dear Lord, please no. And that was my honest, like, I really wanted nothing to do with church planting. Anyways, I could go sort of way into that, but just didn't have a desire to do that. As I was sort of entering my last year, started to think about what's next, started to look into associate positions, that sort of thing. And along the way, as I was looking into those sorts of things, continued to get these phone calls and texts and emails with some regularity, nothing like really big, but just comments here and there, particularly about a group of people in Anderson, South Carolina that had been meeting together and praying about planting an Anglican church. And, just people saying more or less, would you be interested in talking to these folks? Yeah. I think it started out, you said one day, hey, as the canon for church planting, would you be interested? And I think my initial response was basically no, but as those sort of texts and phone calls from trusted friends who I know well and they know me well continued to come in, I found myself at one point sort of saying, all right, time out. This is weird. And it's weird enough that like maybe the Lord's trying to get our attention. And so I went to my wife, Jess, and I said, hey, maybe we should be praying about this and thinking about this more than we have. I don't want to be the guy to sort of just stiff arm, you know, the Lord from day one. And so still very much hoping that, I could sort of do my due diligence and listen. And at the end of it, I would go, okay, well, we weren't supposed to do that. And that's fine. You know,
and the Lord does not like to be stiff-armed. By
No. Right. Yeah. And,
he does that to the prideful, but we don't stiff-arm.
Right.
So,
right.
Well done.
And so, you know, said, all right, we'll listen, you know, and as we listened, continued to very much wrestle with, is this something for us? I don't want to sort of do it begrudgingly. You know, I think the Lord calls people begrudgingly sometimes, but I didn't think that would be the best way to start out church planting, is to sort of be like, well, I guess I'm here, and not be excited about it. And,
right.
Graciously, it was one of his kindnesses to us over time. He began to sort of place within us and grow in us a desire for church planting, and particularly for this group of people and the situation and all that kind of stuff. It just became more and more appealing to us. And towards the end of it, continued to have conversations with people who I trusted and also people involved, and had a phone call with my bishop one day where he didn't necessarily tell me this is what you're going to do or anything like that, but got off the phone and we had been praying for some clarity and walked inside from our front porch and I said, all right, Jess, I think that was the clarity maybe, just that conversation. And you know, spent a couple days, you know, sort of thinking and praying a little bit more about that. Here we are.
Yeah. Well, and I think it is helpful that you mentioned particularity, like getting around the people, getting in the place, because I think a lot of people, when you think church planting, that's such an abstraction. And then what happens is, like you said, you start thinking, am I the kind of person that does church plants versus, hey, you know, you're called to ministry, you're ordained of God's church. And so this may be the people to whom the Lord is sending you. And when you get into that particularity, I think, you know, for those listening, it may be really important to think about God's call in terms of that particularity. I think, you know, so you didn't have to go, I identify as a church planter. You could say, here is a place and people to whom the Lord is calling me. And I think that's should be important to our stories. And I go on and on about particularity. I think just spice the story up a little bit. Just, I mean, you were looking at parish ministry and other opportunities, and, you know, full disclosure, I mean, we were, you know, seriously considering hiring you here into an established position as an associate rector and all that. So you were looking at these possibilities, but before any other thing was extended to you, you knew that with clarity that it, as unknown as church planting was to you, that this is what the Lord was doing. And I think that's a compelling thing to think about, that the way the Lord navigated that, but also the role that that our shepherding authority, the bishops, can play in this, and how welcomed it should be, because we tend to say, oh, well, church planters are entrepreneurial, and we can almost kind of cast them as folks who are kind of out there and stepping out and doing their thing, but and have to sort of actualize that and internalize that within themselves, versus going, this works the same way with my ecclesial authority, with my bishop, and with my shepherds, as anything does. And so I think that's a good thing to really mention within the story. So you said you're in Anderson, South Carolina. That's right here on the 85 corridor, really between near Clemson, but between Greenville and, like, you're headed to Atlanta. Anderson is a college town, has the largest private university in the state, and that's growing. Anderson, like the rest of the upstate, is growing pretty rapidly. So just tell us a little more about that context that you find yourself in, and your sense of mission there as it's, I'm sure, developing, and as you get amongst those people.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I'll start by saying there's a lot that I've got to learn about Anderson, and so many things that I don't know and could know and should know. You know, there's the university town is a really interesting piece to it all. We have, you know, not by any sort of like hugely concerted effort, seem to reach a number of college students right out of the gate who have been interested in what we're doing, hungry particularly for something rooted like the Anglican tradition, and being excited about the presence of that in Anderson. We've been meeting on Anderson's campus thus far, and so that I'm sure hasn't hurt that endeavor to sort of connect with students and also faculty. We've got an assisting priest who is a history professor at Anderson, and so he's got plenty of students who he's connected with and other faculty, you know, who just know him and love him, and
that's so good.
He's a draw to the place. Anderson also has been home to sort of, in the sort of recent history of Anderson, there's been some sort of big box church, you know, moral failure sort of storyline stuff in the news. And one of the things that I've already sensed in our short time there is that there's still some of that residual effect present in Anderson. And so thinking about that too, and just what role might we play, or can we play in helping some folks, you know, heal from woundedness that they've experienced in that setting, or just helping people sort of go deeper and find rootedness that they're looking for in ways that they haven't found in their church settings to this point. So I think that's a big piece. I try and think about that a lot, particularly pastorally, just trying to create a church that is the sort of place that people can come and just be and rest and heal. Yeah, so those are two things that stick out in my mind. It's also like a small city too still, right? Like it's it very much has its own identity. It's not a suburb of Greenville, if you will. Maybe it is becoming that. Everything in the upstate seems to be becoming a suburb of Greenville in some ways, but just a rich sense of we're Anderson, and we love being from Anderson, and so there's a really great aspect of sort of a smaller city, a big town feel, all sorts of stuff that goes along with that.
But it's like a lot of these, I would say, these cities that are around Greenville and in the upstate, they're beginning to, as people are coming in, they're beginning to take some of their existing identity, but also things are improving and they're getting their downtowns and their breweries and their restaurants and stuff like that, and their parks and all the good stuff that can come from growth, and they're developing their own sense of place and even mining kind of their history and stuff too. And I always think of, isn't Anderson, is it the Electric City?
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Scranton.
Right.
In The Office. But anyway, I can't help but think of that rap.
Sure. The
5 months, right? I guess 4 or 5 months ish. Okay. And by the way, you know, you have relatively new baby. She's
16 months.
16 months. Yeah. So toddler. What's fresh to you in 5 months and what you've learned already? So maybe that's kind of been surprising.
Yeah. I mean, I think first and foremost, and this probably would just be the case in any sort of pastoral setting, like as I've finished seminary and been ordained a priest and just stepped into that role, have been just overwhelmed by the privilege and the joy that it is to be a pastor to people.
Yeah.
And particularly just to have this very up close front row seat to what God is doing in people's lives. So that has just been a really joyful surprise. Like I don't know if I had tons of expectations going into church planting, but one of the things I think that church planters ought not to forget is that you're a pastor to the people that you start with too.
Like
they're not a means to an end. And so I have just found that to be really, really rich to just say, these are my people. And certainly we want this thing to continue to grow and to bless many more people in our community and that sort of thing. But I've just been astounded at the beauty and the joy and the privilege that it is to be people's pastor, to get a window into the work that God is doing in people's lives. I think, go ahead.
No, I think that's a great point. And I think about it now, you know, how sweet it was and how deep you can end up going with people initially. It's a unique experience when you're, you know, 15 to 20, and that's who you're pastoring, and you're not anxious because it's not a church going backwards, or it's not a church stuck that you're trying to revitalize, but it's going somewhere, and you're beginning and having, being able to pastor at that level, it's something really sweet about it. And it's a great, I think it's a great way to begin the pastor. Not everybody's going to, that's going to be their first post. And granted, you had parish ministry experience. And of course your dad's ministry, but man, I mean, you really do get something unique, and I miss that sometimes. So it's a good thing to point out, but what you were going to
say. Yeah. Well, and the other thing, and I think this is, you know, related, connected, is, you know, Paul talks about many members of one body, and he talks about all the gifts that God has given people. And it's just amazing when I take the time to sort of step back and think about our little group thus far, and to think about the fact that, like, God has brought together a group of people with all sorts of different gifts that we really, really need at this point.
Yeah.
And to think about just a beautiful, really tangible picture, a way in which I've just not been able to experience in this way before, of what Paul was really getting at. Yeah. I mean, it's easy to sort of get in our heads what he's talking about, right, but to sort of see it playing out on a weekly basis is a really neat thing. And so I've just been pleasantly surprised by the amount of gifts that God has brought into our midst. And hopefully we're using those gifts. We're allowing those gifts to be used for the building up of our little community, and then also the larger community in Anderson.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah, uniquely the beginning of a church plant. I mean, those things are just in the best way. They're kind of under the microscope because you're just really aware. There's a simplicity to the needs that you have, and there's a proximity to each person, because they're only a few, right? And
yeah.
I think it even can inspire in people to ask the question. I mean, they feel the need, whether even, you know, it may just be some of the small things of setting up or of what you're doing in small gatherings where you're still sharing a meal. I mean, people are asking, how can I be connected? So it definitely, it's a unique way in which you see that the gifts at work and surfacing as people are imagining being church planters with you, really.
Yeah.
Talk to us about maybe the challenges, what you've seen just in 4 or 5 months, like so far, like, you know, maybe what you discovered about planting that's just stretching you
sure.
as a person, a leader, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the challenges is every day in my experience so far is just a complete shot in the dark. It feels like you're sort of like, let's try this.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we've already had sort of one promising opportunity to share space with the church, just sort of really weirdly fall through at the last minute sort of thing.
It's a bummer.
And, you know, just sort of trying to deal with that, not only yourself, but also with your people, and sort of saying like, hey, let's not lose heart. And trying to sort of buy into that yourself too a little bit. So you know, there's some of that. You know, other challenges is just like there are a lot of decisions that need to be made. A lot of those decisions have a lot of really viable options. You know, you sort of go like, it's 6 one way, half a dozen the other, but you also have plenty of other folks around that sort of feel, you know, really strongly about one or the other maybe. And that's just sort of pastoral work generally too, I think. But again, like you were just mentioning, you know, sort of everything's under a microscope a little bit. It's all sort of, it's smaller, and so therefore sort of more apparent. Just the sort of like every decision feels like this is going to make or break it, when in reality, like, probably not even close to that. You know, so that has been a particular challenge.
Right.
I'm certainly a people pleaser, and so, you know, I want sort of everybody to be happy, and already finding in these early days that you just can't make everybody happy, and learning to trust the Lord with that, and
that's right. Yeah.
And give that to Him, trust Him to build His church and not my ideas, and all that stuff that's wrapped up there.
Yeah.
Has been a challenge. Also a wonderful opportunity for growth. I've already felt Him in the midst of all that, doing some really neat work in my heart and in my life.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. Well, we were on a call with our church planners. We do a Zoom, you know, once a month. And one of the guys, Josh Fink in Lexington, he mentioned how you know, planting has been uniquely sanctifying for him. But I mean, in the process of making decisions, maybe, you know, people having opinions and thoughts and feelings, I mean, I think they're uniquely getting sanctified too in as they're planting. I mean, you've got folks who have been in established churches, historic churches, who are coming along and church planting, like we might be meeting in this theater over here or sharing space with this church over here. I mean, it's challenging and sanctifying, and they're having to kind of probably hold some things differently than they've had to maybe their whole lives as a member of the church. So Right. It's uniquely sanctifying for people who are on your team as well. And I mean, they're getting challenged in really great and, you know, dare I say again, I mean, unique ways. Mm-hmm. that wouldn't happen if they weren't planting. And I've heard people say before, and you know, I might agree with them, that everybody should be a part of a church plant at some time in their lives, you know. And so it should, I think, stretch us all, and it does a good job of allowing us to feel like the real on the ground, the real tangible, even visceral thing that Paul is on about, right? 1 Corinthians 12, what it means to be the body, be differentiated, but to be unified. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get to see it up close. So tell me, you know, we're going to wrap this up in just a couple minutes. What's been most encouraging for you thus far in the journey?
I mean, sort of going back to what I've already said, like it has just been so encouraging to watch the Lord at work in mm-hmm. this work, right? Yeah. And to sort of continually be reminded that this is not our thing. He is gathering folks and building folks, and in some ways feeling like, you know, just this sort of getting to sit back and enjoy it, yeah. You know, sort of being along for the ride in some ways.
Do you have like, maybe there's a story, maybe there's an experience of some, maybe even there was a moment where you were feeling like, gosh, this is hard. What's been a thing that's kind of buoyed you a little bit, or maybe a person or something?
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, that's a good, I found particularly in our diocese, a really healthy, I think, commitment to church planting. And in that, people like you as our canon for church planting, and even Bishop David Bryan, who himself has planted a church before. Like, yeah. I've just been so encouraged by the incredibly fast response to any sort of questions, phone calls, texts, emails, yeah. all that sort of things that I have. Mm-hmm. People talk about sort of church planting can very quickly feel like you're out there on an island. For some reason, I sort of thought like, well, yeah, you know, that's, you know, you might feel that way. But it's so true. I mean, you can quickly feel that way. But I've been encouraged in the fact that, like, I've never been able to feel that way for very long, just mm-hmm. because of being surrounded by some really good support. You mentioned our church planting Zoom call earlier today, and so that's been an encouragement, just to find ways to do this work alongside others,
right?
Even though I'm the only person in Anderson, right, and everybody else is in their particular place,
yeah.
I don't know if that's a helpful answer, but,
no,
but just
is.
That sort
yeah.
of that communal aspect of it that has been is being fostered within the diocese, mm-hmm. and that's been a real gift to me and an encouragement along the way. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point really for us to end on, is that it can feel, by its very nature, we tend to think of church planting as isolated and lonely in some sense, but it doesn't have to be. And I think that, you know, to maybe church planters who are out there listening, or those who are thinking about church planting, like, really, I would encourage you to lean into where the relationships you have in your diocese and whoever's sending you and supporting you and what have you, and really expect that that their connection to you should mean that they're supporting you. And you know, we can, all of us, every diocese, get better and better at supporting church plants and church planters, and some of that means, yeah, just really all of us moving toward one another to make sure it's not in any way an isolating thing. Because, you know, getting back to sort of where we started, especially those first few months, or even that first year, where, I mean, you don't have a Sunday morning that's creating a rhythm. I mean, that's one of the hardest things. And I know you have a rhythm of meeting with people regularly, but it's just a different deal when you're at home on a Tuesday and, you know, nobody's necessarily available and you've got some important things to be thinking about. And so it's a patient work, and it can be a lonely work, but But that's right. That's where the encouragement is. That's where the gold is talking to, connecting with other church planters, and ideally having a support system, diocese and canons and others to really come alongside. Thanks for taking the time for this discussion. So we just pray blessings over Anderson. Ascension, you guys announced, basically you were announced as the planter on Ascension Sunday.
That's
and
right.
So you took the name.
Church of the Ascension. Yeah,
that's great.
Quite fitting.
Love it. Well, blessings on you guys. Thanks
yeah, thanks
again,
so
Chase.
Much. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Always Forward podcast. Visit us at www.always-forward.com for more resources, to submit your questions, or to interact with us. See you next time.